What's up, guys? Welcome back to another daily Bible reading snapshot. Today, we're looking at 1 Kings 16, 17, and 18 here in the Old Testament. And like we said yesterday, the speed of the narrative really picks up here. We see multiple kings, specifically in the north. I think we get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different kings here in the north in these chapters. So what we see in chapter 16 is that Baasha from yesterday, he's reigning in Israel. He was the guy who struck down the house of Jeroboam. So he's reigning on his own. He's doing his thing in the city of Tirzah. And it says that he lives out his life and everything's all good for him except for the fact that he's disobeying the Lord. So his son Elah comes up behind him. He reigns for only 2 years. And after 2 years, his commander, a guy named Zimri, this guy comes in and he attacks him and actually conspires against his own boss. And when he does that, he kills his boss, his king, Elah, and he puts himself and he reigns on his own in Tirzah. And now the reason I'm saying Tirzah is because the nation of Israel, especially in the north, they've got different capital cities they're going to move to. So Tirzah is very important to this chapter, chapter 16, because Zimri is only king actually for 7 days. Do you see that? It's in verse 15. He reigned for 7 days in Tirzah. And it says after that, it says there's this commander that comes in. His name is Omri. Omri brings his army to Tirzah and they burn the city with fire. So the capital city is burned. Guess who dies along with the capital city? That's right. This guy who was king for 7 days, what a record, Zimri. So Zimri's only king for 7 days. He dies, and when he dies, there's a dispute about who should be king. There's this one guy who's leading the army, the guy named Omri. He seems like the obvious choice, but there's also people that follow this guy named Tibni. Tibni has a group of people that follow him for a while, and it says that Omri and Tibni actually reign at the same time. So it's like the kingdom is split. But it says that the men of Omri surpass the men of Tibni, and the men of Omri end up being the winner. So Omri will reign in the north, and where he chooses as a new capital city is very important. This is actually the most significant thing of Omri, is that his lineage and his dynasty will last for a long time. It will last well into 2 Kings. And that's not because it lasts for a ton of kings. It's just because he has an evil son named Ahab who's going to reign. And they're reigning in Samaria, a new capital city. So Omri's important because he sets up a new capital city in the north, Samaria, and his son Ahab reigns after him when he's dead. And when that happens, Ahab comes up, reigns, and while he's reigning, it says he takes a wife from the kingdom of the Sidonians, the daughter of the king of the Sidonians, a princess. So this girl grew up as a princess. So she was always in the limelight, always famous, so to speak, in her nation. And it's a lady that you know and I know as Jezebel. Jezebel, the evil queen, she is actually a princess from birth. And Ahab marries into this Sidonian family. And it says that they built a lot of things here. But the problem was he was the most evil king they had so far. So all the other kings before Ahab in the north have done bad things. But Ahab is the worst. And now we are introduced to a guy named Elijah in chapter 17, and he's really the star of the show today. So Elijah comes in and he says there's going to be a drought. And why is there going to be a drought? Well, it's because you're not following God's rules. In particular, Deuteronomy 28:23 said that if you don't obey God's law, when you go into the land, the sky is going to be like bronze above you. What does that mean? It means that there's going to be no rain. So this is a fulfillment of that. Now there's a widow in a place named Zarephath, and she has been living on just a little bit, and God sustains her through this time of drought. Because what happens when there's drought? There's also famine. If you don't have water, you don't have crops, you don't have food, people die. So that's what's going on as a punishment. And this widow who has this son, Elijah actually raises him from the dead. We're going to see this kind of parallel in 1 Kings and 2 Kings with Elijah and Elisha, who's going to come later on. So we're just dealing with Elijah here. But it says that in chapter 18, he confronts Ahab and he tells him, hey, you know what? The Lord, he's the only God. You're following the Baals and the Ashtoreth, but you need to follow the Lord. So it says there's this fight that happens between Elijah and 450 prophets of Baal. This is one of the most important chapters in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 18. Here's why it's so important. In verse 21, Elijah drew near to the people on Mount Carmel, and what he said to them was, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Okay, so that's the setup. It says 450 prophets of Baal spend all afternoon trying to get their God to call down fire from heaven. Now, you might say, well, why would they call down fire from heaven? Well, there's a natural phenomenon that you might know as fire from heaven. It's the natural thing called lightning. And now you might ask, well, Mount Carmel, is that a place where Baal worship happened? The answer is yes. Also, what was Baal worship? What was he worshipped for? What was he the god of? Well, he was the god of the thunder, lightning, and the rain. Now, do you see how this is ironic? That in a time where there's a drought, and the prophets of Baal are producing no rain because the Lord said there's not going to be rain, this is a worthless, worthless religion to follow the Baals, because he's not providing the rain, and also he's not calling down thunder or lightning from heaven. Not thunder. Thunder's the sound. He doesn't call lightning down from heaven. But then Elijah, in a moment, he prays to God. He says, O Lord, this is verse 36. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. And immediately fire fell from heaven and consumed the offering that was on this altar. Elijah prayed for God to prove himself to the nations, prove to everyone that you're really God and that all these other gods are false gods. And God did that. He proves it right here. That is the big picture message of 1 Kings 18. The Lord is God and all these other false gods are false and they're fake and they're worse than fake because it's idolatry. It's immoral to be worshiping them. And Elijah shows that through this action. So Elijah is going to be the star of the show for a while in our chapters here in 1 Kings. So we're going to see that later. But we see in the New Testament, in John chapter 1, we see that John the Baptist is telling everybody, look at Jesus, because he is the Lamb of God who's going to take away sins. Jesus is the one who's going to pay for people's sins. Just like the lambs in the Old Testament were atoning for sin. He says, no, this Jesus, he's going to atone for sin. He's going to take care of people's sin. And that's what John announces to these crowds in verse 29 in particular. It says in verse 35 that there's two disciples that were following John, disciples of John, not disciples of Jesus yet, but they are pointed out, they're pointed to Jesus by John. He says, hey guys, look, that's the Lamb of God. One of them, we get his name here. His name's Andrew. The other one, we don't get his name, but we think that maybe it's the writer of this gospel, the gospel of John. We might think this is John himself. It says that Andrew found his brother Simon Peter, and he said, hey, we found the Messiah. We found the one that's written in the Old Testament. And Jesus actually comes up to Peter at this point, Andrew's brother, and renames him. He says, Simon, son of John, you're now Cephas, which means Peter, which means rock. It says Jesus is also seeking out some more people. In verse 43, he says he sees a guy named Philip, and he says, I want you to follow me. Leave everything and follow me. And Philip does, and he's excited. And he goes and tells his friend Nathanael. Nathanael is doubtful at the beginning because he finds out Jesus is from Nazareth. But then when he gives him a chance and goes and talks to him, after Philip says, come and see, check this out, Jesus references something in the Old Testament to Nathanael. This is crazy, but what he says is, I saw you under the fig tree. And you might say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, it seems like Jesus saw Nathanael in a place that nobody was around. So Jesus has special knowledge of everyone, and he uses that right here to show Nathanael that he really is God. And right when Nathanael hears that Jesus saw him under the fig tree, which clearly he was alone and nobody saw him, he believed that he was really the Son of God here. And Jesus says, do you think that's impressive? You're going to see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You might say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, at the beginning of this passage, Jesus says to Nathanael, behold, an Israelite with whom there is no deceit. There's no deceit in this guy. Then he references this thing that happened in the Old Testament. What is he doing? Well, I think what we see here is a reference to a guy named Jacob, reference to a guy named Israel, who was said to be without deceit, and in him, he's a true Israelite. Then we see this story in the Old Testament where angels were ascending and descending on Jacob. I think Jesus is making a reference from Nathanael to Jacob in the Old Testament here. So, crazy connections, important connections we see here in the Old Testament. So I encourage you, keep reading God's word. There's so much in here for us to learn that Jesus is the true God. He is the God of the Old Testament. So thanks for reading. We'll see you back tomorrow for another daily Bible reading snapshot.